We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
What's up? Welcome in. Episode 110. Of Hogan Johns.
110, wow.
110. And we are finally in a game week. I'm jacked up. This podcast is going to be loaded. And it was loaded this morning when I woke up, and I had already put on all the prep for it, and now it's even more loaded because of what went down at Hallis Hall today.
What went down?
Well, we'll get into it. We'll get into it because it was... it was significant.
Trubisky talk.
Made one of my tweets from this morning look stupid. But we'll address that. At Adam Hogue.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, that's true. At Adam Johns. J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNradio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. Search Hogan Johns on iTunes. Please rate and review it. And you can also find it on the TuneIn app, the WGN Radio app, anywhere else you listen to podcasts. And... bringing in a new voice to the podcast today, too. We are happy to once again have a real live producer producing this podcast. They'll do a way better job than me. Joe Romano is in the house. What's up, Joe?
Yo, guys. How you doing?
Joe Romano, you may remember from the old game days, 87-7 mm-hmm. The game, RIP.
Long live.
It's good to have you, Joe. Now, you don't have Mike Jacobson's... deep bellowing,
how are you doing, guy?
That's a pretty good impression.
I'm trying.
I wasn't really sure how I was going to get through the audition.
Exactly. You have to build yourself up for that impersonation.
Right. Well, Joe's on board. And
I like the Bears. Go ahead.
We're really happy about it. You're going to hear from him from time to time in these preview episodes during the week. Not much is going to change in terms of how we operate this podcast during the season. By the way, we're glad you're still listening. There's 19,000 Bears podcasts now, apparently.
There might be, I would say maybe 20,000.
I mean, there's a lot.
But some have no names.
No, some of them don't even have names.
Some have goofy names like Hallis Intrigue.
Hallis Intrigue that no one gets except for the host. We were the first, though, and we appreciate that you're still hanging around, new listeners as well. Found out from the podcast, the survey that we did, a lot of new listeners. By the way, survey now closed.
How many? What was the final number?
I think we had 319 people.
Very nice.
Fill that out, which is a pretty small sample of our listenership, but enough to.
Any other ladies still too?
Yeah. Hang on. No, let me bring that up. I think we're up to four. Yep.
Nice.
Got four.
Our wives got involved.
No, because they reached out to me on the...
Our wives did?
No. Yeah. No, Krista does not communicate with me through Twitter, thankfully. I mean, we'll eventually get there, but right now it's still face-to-face.
She's sliding into your DMs.
My wife is sliding.
You made it. You made it. You're good. DMs. You're set. Keep her.
Yeah, exactly. Another new feature, though. I'm really excited to announce this. We've been trying to get this to happen for a couple years now, actually. And one thing that we needed was a producer to handle this. We got that. We also just need the logistics of setting it up. And now we need your participation. But this is for you, the listener. We have set up a voicemail line. 312-222-5050. This is your opportunity to interact with the show. That was one of the comments that came in through the survey a lot.
I like it.
Was just, hey, can we get... you know, more Q&A, either through Twitter. I mean, the problem with a podcast is that you can't take live calls like we do on the radio. There's plenty of other benefits to it, but one of the drawbacks, you can't take live calls. But this isn't just going to be, hey, leave us voicemails and we'll answer your questions. We want you specifically to be interacting during and after Bears games. So, I mean, this thing's going to be open. You can call it. You know, after the first series on Sunday, if Mike Lennon throws an interception and you're angry,
Wait, are we this?
Oh, yeah.
God, can you imagine if we had the lines open when Jay Cutler was the quarterback?
Yeah, and this is live. You can. This is that's the great part about it is you can call during the game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We want you to, actually. Call after the game, 312-222-5050. Very easy to remember. 312-222-5050. Your opportunity. We just ask that you please leave your name and where you're calling from. And Joe Romano is going to take the best of this stuff every week. And then you're going to hear it back on the podcast on Wednesdays. Which, by the way, is when, you know, other than Thursday games, Monday games, the schedule gets a little screwed up. Most weeks, this is going to be a Wednesday deal now as we get going this season. We did it on Thursday mornings last year, but the Bears changed their schedule around.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way it works. We're going to be doing it Wednesday afternoons. The format's still very much the same. We'll talk about the news of the week, get you ready for the game, make our picks. Make our NFL picks and make Adam Johns do his college picks.
I like the college games you offered this week.
You do like them?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Well, right there is some breaking news. And there was real breaking news today. How about this? Did you think this was happening? The Bears' backup quarterback is Mitchell Trubisky.
Mm-hmm. I love the obsession over the number two quarterback spot.
Well,
I know it's meaningful,
it's
but...
It's a number two overall pick in the draft. Yeah, of course there's obsession.
Of course, I get it. It's still... It's a backup spot. I actually like how they made him earn it, though. He had to earn the backup spot. It sounds crazy to say. He had to earn. He had to beat out Mark Sanchez to be a backup.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of noteworthy.
I have both problems and what's the opposite of problems?
I don't know.
Support for their decision?
Mm-hmm. Applause.
The one thing I don't get, and I tweeted this morning.
Just the one you
regret? I don't regret it at all because it's still with logic.
Okay.
I didn't say that's what the Bears are doing. I said this is what logic points to. Let's see if I can find this. A lot of tweets today.
Been busy.
I know. Okay. If Mitch Trubisky isn't ready to start, then I don't see how he's ready to come in cold off the bench either. Logic points to Sanchez as the number two.
So he's ready to start then? You think the Bears think he's ready
to
start?
If you're willing to throw, like, let's say Mike Glennon gets hurt on the first play Sunday. Not that that's going to happen, but if it does, Trubisky's playing the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
by making him the backup, you're saying you're prepared for that situation.
Yes.
Okay? So if he's ready to do that, then why is he not ready to start?
Well, I think
because he's clearly the best quarterback on the roster.
If they truly believe that he's ready to start, I don't think they're quite there yet. I think this is them on the path to there yet. Mm-hmm. But if they truly thought that, he'd be starting. With all due respect to what you promised Mike Glennon, Mitch Trubisky would be starting if they thought he was ready.
So then why is he ready to be the backup?
Because he's clearly better than Mark Sanchez.
He's clearly better than Mike Glennon.
They don't think that yet.
Okay, well then I question that evaluation.
Well, it's not in terms of physical talents. The evaluation is beyond that to them. Of course, Mitch Trubisky is the more physically talented passer. Better athlete, better arm. Make throws that Mike Glennon can only dream of.
Mm-hmm.
It's the processing, the seeing of things. Mitch Trubisky may not always put them in the right play. Might not always identify the right Mike linebacker. We've seen problems with that. It's the experiences, Dal Loggins' word, I believe, that separate the two right now. They value Mike Lennon's experiences and the knowledge, the smarts. Ryan Pace commented on the smarts today. That's what the difference is between those two.
So that's at least just the problem I have with it. Not that I'm sure that's something they discussed too. I mean, that kind of logic. I would hope they did. But here's some reasons why I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One being that, God forbid, Mike Glennon did go down on the first play of the game. First series, first quarter, whatever it is. Absolutely, you want Trubisky on the field.
Yes.
Over Mark Sanchez, assuming you have a chance to win this game. All right? So that makes sense to me. There's also just the idea of, I think it's pretty obvious that their decision, their right decision that we all called for, that they were willing to do, give Trubisky reps with the starters in that third preseason game. Got positive results out of Mike Glennon.
Yep.
It had a positive impact on Mike Glennon. So if you are going with Mike Glennon as your starter, I like keeping the pressure on him.
Mm-hmm.
I like having Trubisky standing there on the bench. You throw a pick six in the first quarter, not that they would make a switch that quickly, but Mike Glennon's got to know that that's a possibility. Mm-hmm.
My column for will be Thursday's edition of the Sun-Times, see it on chicagosuntimes.com, is basically arguing or saying that the plan for Mitch Trubisky is better with a better Mike Glennon. It forces Trubisky to be better.
Yeah.
You just don't want to hand this job to him. And there is still value in having him watch Mike Glennon struggle, watch him succeed. There's value in that. The Bears believe there's value in that. I know, like, you'll have Aaron Rodgers comparisons with Brett Favre, right? You'll have certain situations like that, or Philip Rivers behind Drew Brees. You know, the value of watching a guy coming in and out. I think the Bears believe in that. Now, I won't jump to those comparisons because those are all special quarterbacks, but, you know, Tom Brady waiting behind Drew Bledsoe. Tony Romo waiting behind Drew Bledsoe. Carson Palmer waiting behind John Kitna, who had his best year when Carson Palmer was on his roster. So there is value in having Mitch Trubisky watch what Mike Glennon actually does in real football. This isn't the preseason anymore.
So those are two reasons why I like Trubisky over Sanchez as your backup. I mm-hmm. get it. One reason why I don't have a problem with Glennon starting the season over Trubisky, even though I clearly think Trubisky's the better quarterback, beyond just the, okay, he's still got to, you know, learn more. And that was something that Dow Loggins talked about today in mm-hmm. House Hall. Overall knowledge. Glennon has the edge. He was asked that question. What areas does Glennon still have the edge on Trubisky? He said overall knowledge.
Experiences,
which
yeah.
is fair.
Yeah.
One thing that was also mentioned today, I forget if it was Dowell or Fox, but just the experience of going through a game week. He's never done that before, Trubisky, not the NFL level. And so even if it's just 1 or 2 weeks, being able to go through that sort of without having to start the game, just seeing the process that it takes and the, you know, the turnaround from week to week. Sure, you did that in college, but this is different. It's the NFL. So I like that. And then there's also the opponent. Mike Glennon happens to have intimate knowledge of the first two opponents on the Bears' schedule this year. Really intimate knowledge over the team you play next week in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who he played for. So I don't know that it's enough to give you the edge over the fact that Trubisky's so much better just physically, but I'm okay with that. He's played against the Falcons before, Glennon. He's had success against the Falcons before. Different defenses, completely different teams, to be honest with you. But, you know, he knows Atlanta. He was a backup quarterback there who prepared for this defense twice last season. So I think that's an edge that he has, certainly over Trubisky, who's facing all the teams on the schedule for the first time.
Nobody's considering, what if Mike Glennon is good?
Yeah, I'm not going to consider that.
Why not? I'm just giving up?
No, I'm just kidding. Look, I already did consider that. I wrote a really long column after they signed him going through the tape.
But now, I mean, we've seen the preseason. We've seen him struggle in training camp.
My conclusion hasn't changed. If you're able to protect him and run the football and play good defense, basically, if you give Mike Glennon a perfect scenario everywhere on the roster, then he can be fine.
Is that not how the Bears are built? Solid defensively, good running game, decent offensive line?
You think everything around Mike Glennon's perfect? I don't.
Well, it's not perfect because you're always starting offensive line.
They don't have a defense that turns the ball over. They don't have any proven wide receivers.
They got proven tight ends. People are viewing the offense like, oh no, who is he going to throw the ball to? All right, look,
I think it's very
built
fair
from the inside
to
out.
I think it's very fair to wonder if the Bears are capable of scoring 17 points on Sunday.
Really?
Absolutely.
You know how hard it is not to score 17 points in a game?
Where's the stats? Because that's what they averaged last
okay,
year.
Okay, who are your quarterbacks?
Well,
you played three of them.
Right.
You lost to Alshon Jeffrey for 4 games, so the circumstances change.
I'm not sure Mike Glennon's better than Brian Hoyer.
Oh, I think he's a taller, lengthier version of Brian Hoyer, to be honest.
Well, how many games did they win with Brian Hoyer?
Well, not many, but they were in games. I remember putting up a lot of points in Indianapolis.
I think it's a stretch to say that the roster he was operating with in Tampa was better than the roster he has here.
Okay. Why? Because he's not the quarterback.
It's not a perfect situation.
Can I say something about takeaways too?
Yeah.
This town is up. I get the importance of takeaways. I really do. Like it changes momentum. You know, the ball control, all those things.
Are you about to say something where you then don't understand the importance of takeaways?
No, but we've all been like brainwashed by Lovie Smith ball. I get that they're invaluable.
Uh huh.
Right, but. I heard on the radio today people counting down the takeaways over the past couple of years because the attrition of talent and coaches coming and going. All coaches preach takeaways. They all do, right? Maybe Lovie did it to an nth degree, more than everybody else. But
Lovie preached scoring on takeaways.
I get it.
It wasn't just enough to get the ball.
How many times did Lovie Smith's teams make the playoffs? He was here for 9 years.
Yeah, but you can make a pretty good argument that they don't sniff the Super Bowl the year they went if it wasn't for all the takeaways the defense got.
That's fine. That's fine. So 1 year. What about consistent success? Okay. Takeaways are fluky. They can be very fluky.
But I think you can also. I think his teams proved that you can have a knack for getting them.
His teams also proved that they didn't go to the playoffs consistently. Let's not overrate
because
what
of
was.
The offense, though.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, so there's more
but
to
the defense. I remember what was that game that Craig Krenzel started like in Tennessee. And I don't think they got the ball past their own 10-yard line. Obviously, I'm exaggerating.
I get
and
that.
I think they won on like a safety and a defensive touchdown.
I get that. I'm just saying, like everybody's obsessed with the amount of takeaways. I'm not saying they're not important, and they keep going back to the Lovie Smith era.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not.
Well, because they've gotten a complete. They tied. Johns, they tied an NFL record.
I get it.
NFL record for the least amount of takeaways ever.
I get it. They were a 3-13 team.
You got to do better than that.
Yeah, I get it. You're also starting undrafted guys as your starting quarterback.
If you have a quarterback that can elevate everybody else on the field and overcome defensive deficiencies,
exactly,
then you can make it. Then you can have a chance with this team.
Okay. Okay. So
there's a chance that Mitchell Trubisky's
to go back
guy.
To your takeaways point. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why you're going to have four new starters in the secondary,
right?
You're not going to give them any chance.
I'm not giving them any chance. That's not what I said. I'm just saying they still have to prove that. You need a defense that is going to be able to cover up Mike Glennon's flaws. That's where this whole conversation started.
Yes.
And I think they have a great front seven. I don't think their depth is as good as they're saying on the front seven. Well, at least on the outside linebackers. I like the
outside linebackers.
I like the D-line depth.
Yes.
Secondary, prove it. I'm not saying it can't happen. I like Eddie Jackson. Yeah. I like his ball skills.
I think there's a talent.
But go do it.
In the secondary.
Oh, I do too, but prove it. Prove it. That's all I'm saying. All right. Should we play what Ryan Pace, believe it or not, Ryan Pace talked to us today. Not just our podcast. That was a few weeks ago. We appreciate him doing that. But he talked to all the media today at Hallis Hall. Would you like to hear some of this?
Let's do it.
I don't know if I'll play the whole thing. It's 13 minutes. But most of the stuff about the quarterbacks that people care about is at the beginning.
Past, I guess, 4 or 5 days, been a tough time for us. Difficult cutting down the roster, which tells me we're a better team. Excited about our new additions. Excited about the free agents. Excited about this draft class. Excited about, you know, injured players we have back healthy this season, so we're ready to roll. We're focused on Atlanta, and with that, any questions?
Ryan, we talked about the roster, the final cut down here. We know how you felt about Sanchez and what he was going to bring to the team. Now that Mitch has displaced him as the number two, what do you see his value is, and then what do you see his role, you know, over the course of the whole season?
Yeah, Rich, we were, you know, this has all been, you know, well thought out, and we were honest and upfront with Mark, you know, about, you know, the reasons, you know, we value him. And it starts with, you know, he's a good player, but it also goes into all the intangibles he brings and what he brings to our locker room and what he brings to the quarterback room. So, you know, we've talked about it before, guys. You know, Mike can lean on his experience and Mitch can lean on that too. So, You know, he's valuable for us. We're glad he's here. He's the kind of guy that just exudes positive energy wherever he is, and he's seen a lot in his career, so we value that.
How is he with his status as number three? Was this a surprise to him?
You know, he's competitive, you know, David, but I think, you know, once he, you know, digests the whole thing, he's such a team player, you know, and that's one of the, you know, vital cogs we look for in every guy is being a good teammate. And that's definitely Mark Sanchez, and I think he's going to he's taking a lot of pride in this role.
You talked about the plan for Mitch starting the first night you drafted him. Him getting bumped up to the backup status here, where does that jive with what the plan was? Did he accelerate that plan?
Yeah, I think, you know, these guys, you know, they define the depth chart, you know, and Mitch has done a really good job. You know, I think we've all seen that. So they set the depth chart. He's earned that spot. We're excited about that for him. And that kind of is what it is now.
Are you
that was a yes.
Dan, it's been steady. You know, it's been steady growth. And, you know, even, you know, in Monday's practice, there's things. Every day there's something he's doing. There's new things he's seeing. There's new experiences that he's having, which will just continue. And that's what I think gets us excited is it's just been consistent, steady growth for Mitch all along the way.
So are you okay if he plays this year? Because it seemed like you guys didn't want him to play. We're talking about redshirting and not playing him this year.
I think when I go on that, it's our confidence in Glennon, you know, and that holds true. And Mike Glennon's our starter, you know, and so to deal in hypotheticals, you're not going to do that, you know. But there's a plan in place for his development, which is being executed, and I think Fox and Dal and Ragone have done an unbelievable job with it. And I'm just proud of where Mitch is at right now and just him continuing that progress.
Was there a moment when you knew that Mitch had what it takes just to start the season?
Patrick.
It just kind of came, you know so along the way. You know, obviously, you know, you guys know how we felt about him from the get-go. So every one of these steps has been exciting to see, you know. And we just couldn't be happier with his progress.
I respect what you're saying, obviously, but I mean, if he's the number two on the depth chart for a game, if Glennon goes down,
obviously,
he's got to go in.
Yeah, right? He has to be ready. You know,
seeing the field.
Yeah, he has to be ready, you know. But again, every one of these experiences he has, and let's go to game day. I mean, there's going to be adjustments within the game. There's going to be new defensive schemes and blitz packages and coverages. And every one of these moments is a learning experience for him, which he's shown he takes advantage of.
Brian, we've heard about the kind of shape McPhee is in and his weight. Are you going to have to kind of be careful with how you use it, or have you discovered a way that you can avoid the kind of wear and tear type of injuries he's had?
Yeah.
No.
We've talked about that because he's, Monday's practice. You know,
good to hear from you, Mike.
You know, out there, you know, and he only knows one speed, you know. So we, you know, we're mindful of that, you know, how we're going to manage him. But it's exciting to see because I think you'll see, you know, today in, with his pads on, just the way his body looks, the way he's moving around. He's a very disruptive player that provides a lot of pass rush for us. So it's just exciting to have him back. But we'll have a plan in place. Unfortunately, we have enough guys there where we can rotate and be smart about that with how we utilize him.
How hard about to give up on Jeremy Langford a year after he was the only starter guy you drafted?
Yeah, David, it's hard, you know, and, you know, it's, you know, this guy's the guy we drafted. It's a guy I think the world of. But I think as we go through that claiming process, you know, you're going through different emotions because you're saying goodbye to a lot of good players. But it's also, as a scout, it's exciting because we're evaluating a lot of talent around the league. And I thought our pro department did a great job of identifying a running back in Baltimore, Mazzell, that we really liked, you know, Champ and Josh. And so when you're seeing those guys, you're excited about that new addition to our team. But it's also hard to say goodbye to a guy like Jeremy Langford and wish him the best. I'm glad he's on Baltimore's practice squad, and I know we'll have success.
Talk about players getting to set the depth chart. Eddie Jackson, what did you see out of him that allowed him to kind of move up?
Yeah, so it's, you know, what we saw in the draft is it's his ball skills jump out right away, but really he's just got natural instincts and anticipation. So, you know, that's something back there that we've been looking for a while now. And I think he pairs really well with Demps. We kind of got the savvy vet with Demps, and we got the emerging rookie with Jackson. But you can just see him anticipate routes, break on things early. Just got a great feel and natural instincts back there. And it's, I like this whole rookie class in general. It's not too big for him. You know, he plays with a confidence and a swagger that's refreshing to see for a young player.
Ryan, the wide receiver group, is that going to be an ongoing process throughout the year? I know you had some guys in for tryouts on Tuesday. Are you satisfied with the depth there, or will you continue to look around?
You know, we claimed a guy in McBride that we're excited about adding. And, these guys are going to step up. You know, we're set for Kevin to have a big year. We're glad Kendall's here. Deontay, Bellamy. hey, those guys are going to step up, you know. And it, you know, the, it's the whole balance of the roster. You know, we had the tight ends and we had the backs. We like our offensive line, so you know, those guys will step up.
We haven't talked to you since we signed Charles, and you talked about his inconsistencies at times. So you went ahead and obviously re-signed him before he plays another regular season game. Mm-hmm. I was curious, what was the impetus there to make the deal now rather than see more data from him?
I think, honestly, that was a focus all camp for us. You know, really locked into, you know, all his reps and, you know, and everything he's doing on the field and behind the scenes. And it feels good. We talked about this, to the best form of free agency is extending your own guys because you know the most about them. And Charles is a great example of that. Just does things the right way. He's a true pro. And I think he's gotten better and better, and he's going to continue to ascend. So, the locker room's paying attention to who we're rewarding, and I think sending that message with Charles Leno is a good message.
That's an interesting answer, but true. Players do pay attention to that.
Absolutely. Message there, maybe? No?
Maybe.
A few other players who are looking for new deals. Guy who kicks the ball. Mm-hmm. Another guy who chases quarterbacks.
I'm kind of surprised that Keem Hicks hasn't gotten one yet. Thought that might have been taken care of in the last couple of days. Well, before they really dove into prep here. But I think Hicks also realized how much he can get paid if he plays.
Well, maybe not even by here.
That's what I mean. I mean, if he has a season he had last year again, not too many 27-year-old guys like that in the prime of their career hitting free agency.
There's risk involved with, though, man.
Yeah.
Injury. He already dealt with an Achilles injury this year. An Achilles.
Yeah, I wonder how much that has something to do with it. Because usually Achilles, that's not something you want to mess around with.
No, but like he's messing around with it.
Yeah.
I mean, that may not be the best way to put it, but there's risks on both sides. You want to get, the market could raise his price, obviously, out of the Bears' parameters. And we know the Bears like to stick to their financial parameters with free agents. And then there's the injuries. That could mount up for, he plays one of the most violent positions in one of the most violent sports.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
A couple other things in there. Well, first of all, you heard everything he had to say about the quarterbacks. I think it's pretty obvious that, I don't know if it was necessarily the plan to have Trubisky up week one in terms of on the active roster, but he's earned it. I think everyone there, that's the thing about what the Bears are doing. Like, it's, you can debate the logic on whether or not he, Trubisky, should be really the backup here. But it's hard to actually criticize the way that they've gone about this.
Well, the only thing worth serious criticism and questioning is, why is he passing late against the Browns in a fourth meaningless preseason game?
Yeah.
That's, up until that point, things made sense. I even understood the 9 handoffs. I came around on that. You know why? Because he needs time with the snap. He needs time with handling the huddle. All those basic elements of being a quarterback that are so often overlooked, he just needed time doing it.
Yeah. That was a little weird. But
9 straight handoffs. Maybe he had options up there. Maybe he should have checked out of some. Maybe it wasn't 9 straight handoffs. Maybe he checked into 9 straight handoffs.
Maybe. I don't know. The end of the game did not make sense, though. I can't. They had to have been just, look, and Dow Loggins today asked about it, declined to comment. Ryan Pace asked about it, said we're just focused on the Falcons.
They both won straight Belichick, huh?
Yeah. I have to imagine that whole thing wasn't handled in the way everyone was hoping it would be handled. With those kinds of answers, deflecting, no one really has a good answer. John Fox didn't answer it well after the game. Dow Loggins declined comment. Ryan Pace declined comment. They were not prepared for Connor Shaw getting hurt.
No.
Which, to me, is unfathomable.
Because he got hurt twice.
Quarterbacks always get hurt. I don't care if it's a fourth preseason game. You have to have a contingency plan.
Right, I get that.
And they weren't ready.
It's the first time I've seen the concussion spotter signal the ref, and the ref literally grabs the guy from under center and walks into the sideline. Usually you grab him out of the huddle. But Connor Shaw, if I can remember it correctly, was literally walking to his center, about to go underneath.
Yeah.
Well, you're out, kid.
Well, they get the page from upstairs.
Yes.
And
yes.
You can't control when it comes in. Yeah, I mean, you brought up the possibility that Trubisky was checking out of some plays. I don't see how. At the end of the game, though, it's not like you would have called a run. If you're going to call a run, then you just kick the field goal.
Well, just.
And you don't call timeout.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a whole thing. We don't. Whatever. Yeah, I mean.
He's the backup.
I'm with Dowell.
Here's the Falcons.
We're moving on to the Falcons. That's cool.
He survived. We're on to the Falcons.
Yeah.
Mike Jacobson / Bill Belichick.
We're on to the Falcons. No. Maybe not.
Would you rather have dinner with Mike Jacobson or Bill Belichick?
Sorry, Mike. Bill Belichick.
I don't think he would say much, but just in case he did, it'd be,
you
know,
good to be there.
Say that you had dinner with Bill Belichick.
Yes.
Sorry,
yes.
Mike. Yeah. All right. Pernell McPhee back in practice, and they're talking like he's going to play.
Oh, I think he's definitely going to play. You have four outside linebackers on this team.
I know.
You need every single one of them in every single game. Isaiah Irving, your practice squad outside linebacker, is not ready.
Mm-hmm.
They like him, need some time, young guy, upside, all that stuff.
Okay, then there's the offensive line. If I kept playing that, there were some questions about Kyle Long, and Pace said he's doing great, but
he's not practicing.
He's not practicing. So I don't know that he's going to play.
Now, the Bears have done some bold things before week one. Cody Whitehair, play center. Kyle Long, try right tackle. No problems. But
if he doesn't practice,
that's the difference, yeah. Right? They're not afraid to make decisions like that with healthy players. The Pro Bowl guard named Kyle Long is not healthy right now.
Yeah, I know it's only Wednesday as we record this, but
so nothing has changed in weeks.
So then the question becomes, do they go with Hronis Gersou at center, Cody Whitehair at left guard, or do they just keep Whitehair at center, and Tom Compton's probably then the guy who's playing guard? That's what I think is the interesting question this week. If Kyle Long doesn't play.
Well, and here's another thing. Kyle Long's playing a new position.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you at least like some? He had limited reps with the teams, first team in Bourbonnais. Limited. It was like 10 tops, I think.
It didn't do a lot.
It was not a lot. Are you better? I get that he's a special athlete, special player, all of those things. But it's still a new spot. He's coming off a major injury. Has not practiced much for a long time. Are you better off going with a guy who's been practicing in that spot, at least for some capacity, over the past several weeks? I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I would go with Gersou and White here. That's what I would do.
I'm not convinced it's what they're going to do, but because you don't want to mess with the development of Whitehair is a thing. But you know, the depth chart did come out today. I don't know how much stock you put in that, and Whitehair is listed as the backup guard at both spots.
Right.
So it leads you to believe that that's the move that they would make.
Well, do you think you're better off? You don't want to mess with the Whitehair's center development, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
So you think you're better off just injecting a Tom Compton?
But if you're going to be, well, I don't, but if the thing that doesn't necessarily make sense about that is then why keep Gersou on the team? I mean, I guess you need a backup center.
Yeah.
No matter what, but
he would be like your third team, fourth team guard. He's practiced it.
Yeah.
He's played it in games.
You know what I found interesting on the depth chart? After all the people we saw returning punts, Bryce Callahan's listed as the top punt returner. Now, he was hurt a lot in the preseason.
A lot.
Yeah, but then Craven LeBlanc's listed as the backup punt returner. And then you get to Eddie Jackson and Tariq Cohen.
I still think you see Tariq Cohen out there.
Are they just
They get like a special role for him, I don't know.
Are they trying to hide Tariq? I think they're trying to hide Tariq. That's one of the... Maybe that's a good transition. Should we start previewing this game on Sunday?
Let's do it.
We certainly talked a lot about the news of House Hall. There was a lot today. But before we get to the first game of the season, what does the Fox say? Ding, 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 ding
You know, I think, well done, it'd be well said. What the fuck say?
That's Fox say.
About what? I can't remember.
Steaks? Larry, it all comes back to Larry.
Did he ask what the biggest challenge is about something?
No, Larry's trying to do, you know, a positive PR piece for ChicagoBears.com on the front seven.
Oh, the front seven. Yeah, I remember that question now.
And Fox, who, by the way...
How many Hall of Famers do you have in the front
seven? Wasn't Fox the one that said that the front seven was a strength at the beginning of training camp?
He said it on the coaches' show the other night, too.
So then Larry, who works for the Bears, basically teed that up for him, and he's said that he's tired of talking about it, just wants to go do it. Poor Larry.
I think, well done, it'd be well said.
We got to get Larry in the podcast.
I know.
Gotta. John, how many Hall of Famers do you have in front of this?
Although there weren't any requests for Larry on the survey, I'm sorry to say.
Larry legend.
But we'll still do it. All right. Let's get into this thing, and we will get into also our NFL and college picks. You'll hear a little bit more from Joe Romano, our producer, during that segment. But Joe, you'll make a pick for the Bears game too. We'll have you do that. But here we go. Falcons at Bears. Bears are a 7-point underdog at home, noon Sunday on Fox. What are your big questions going into this game?
Well, the offensive line, we talked about that. I think you heard my thoughts. I would go Rasul center, Whitehair at left guard. It's just unfathomable to me that Kyle Long could be ready. Like, he could play, but is he ready? I don't know.
I mean, I was wondering if they're maybe holding him out until just, you know, at some point in camp decided, all right, let's just hold him out to the start of the season. But he didn't practice today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Wednesday now. I mean, this is game week. This is you get into your game week, and if that was, that tells me he's not playing, but it's still early in the week.
Do you think, I believe in championship hangovers. It's even worse for the losing teams.
Mm-hmm.
What are the Falcons going to be this year? It's a general question. You've seen the Seahawks struggle. You've seen the Carolina Panthers struggle last year.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. I do believe in Super Bowl hangovers. And actually, I have it's a stat I tweeted out a couple weeks ago. I think I mentioned it on the podcast, but didn't have it right in front of me. Over the last decade, Super Bowl losers, so the team that loses the Super Bowl, are 4-6 in week one. So not even 500, 4-6 overall, but 1-5 on the road. So 6 of those 10 teams have had to start the next season on the road, and 5 of those 6 have lost.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that doesn't really have anything to do with the 2017 Bears or the 2017 Falcons. It's just, you know.
Yeah, it does.
Well, it's just a trend.
It's a trend.
That of the Super Bowl losers is struggling. And by the way, that streak started with the Bears in 2007, when they went to San Diego after losing Super Bowl 41, they opened the next season in San Diego and they lost 14-3. They couldn't even score a touchdown in that game. That's what started that little trend there. So I believe it. But here's the thing. The Falcons kind of arrived early last year. I mean, people forget they lost 5 games in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
No one really... I didn't hear too many people when this playoffs started saying, oh, the Falcons are going to have a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots. You know, and if anybody had said that, it would have been a dream scenario. Or even if they had just lost to the Packers in the NFC Championship game, everybody in Atlanta would have considered 2016 a rousing success. And they would have been the team coming into this year, that's coming off the great season. Everybody's saying nice things about them. They're ripe for the Super Bowl. They're the team that's going to make the next step. They kind of remind me of the Royals, the Kansas City Royals a few years ago, that lost in Game 7 to the Giants. You knew that they kind of had arrived a year early. They were that close. And the question was, would they put it together the following year? You could say that about the Cubs maybe 2 years ago. And they made it to the NLCS. You know, but they didn't make it quite to the World Series. I'm just – that's what's kind of – as I look at the Falcons, logically and objectively, that's what I see more of. But then there's 28-3. And psychologically – that does have to change things. It absolutely has to change things. And Dan Quinn, we had a conference call with him today, admitted that it really got to the start of training camp before he thought the guys got over that.
Wow. So that's only several weeks ago.
Exactly.
Good young core of talented players there. No question about it. Thomas Dimitrioff has nailed a few drafts. Vic Beasley is a guy I thought the Bears
picked one spot behind Kevin White.
Yes, yes, yes. Led the league in sacks last year.
Mm-hmm. Looked like a bust in year one, but came back, had more sacks than Bob
Miller. That's the thing, like, that's why you got to hold out hope for Kevin White. Things can get can turn fast. No one wants to give these players any time to develop. But anyway, 7 points, though, at home. It's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. We'll get to our predictions in a second.
Yeah, I know.
We'll get to our predictions. But first, this feels good playing this. It's been a while.
Bold predictions.
What do you got?
You know, I ranted about the takeaways.
This is like our most common bold prediction, and we always, at least last year, got it wrong. We're like, yep, this is the week. They're going to get
They're
going to get two interceptions.
They're due.
Nope. What do you
two call? Interceptions
mm-hmm.
off Matt Ryan. One of them, I'll even be more specific, rookie safety, Eddie Jackson.
So two interceptions of Matt Ryan, Eddie Jackson. Gets
that's very bold, I think.
Joel, this is something. Joel, I'm putting you on this to keep track of these because I always forgot these last year. By the time we came around the next week, I didn't remember what they were. All right. Mine is, and I'm not going to say all-purpose yards because I don't know if this guy is going to be involved in the punt return game or not based on the depth chart. So I'm just going to say offensive yards. So receiving plus rushing yards. I think Tariq Cohen breaks 100. In this game. I think he's the Bears' secret weapon. And here's why. By the way, that probably just me saying that doesn't sound so bold. Maybe the 100 yards is, but me saying he's a secret weapon, I mean, it's not like,
I called Adam Shaheen a secret weapon in a column not too long ago.
Is he even going to be active?
It's a good question. Yeah. Number 3 in the depth chart.
But here's the thing about Cohen. Okay, we all saw he can play. But I don't know if you noticed, they didn't really use him like I think they're going to use him on Sunday. Okay, first game, kind of just got some random action here and there. But Jordan Howard didn't play in Arizona week 2 of the preseason. And he was featured like a featured back.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to be his role on this team.
No.
It was great to see he could do that, and he has those skills. And then, mysteriously, he like didn't play against Tennessee. He did, but hardly. Benny Cunningham played more.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was weird. And I don't think it's anything. I think they're going to feature him a lot on Sunday. Here's a stat.
Okay.
Do you know which defense in the NFL allowed the most receptions per game to running backs last year?
I guess you're going to say the Falcons.
The Atlanta Falcons. That guy can catch the ball out of the backfield. I think he can line up.
You have not seen that in any preseason game.
Right. You haven't seen him really line up.
Mismatch problem.
You haven't seen him line up in the slot. Everyone's kind of wondering, is Bears receiving thing? You mentioned the tight ends helping mask that problem. I think Tariq Cohen also helps mask that problem.
Yes, there's weapons.
They have
there's
not
weapons.
Used him that way. I'm guessing here, because we haven't seen a whole lot of that, but I think that's what's going to happen. So I think Cohen, between catching the ball and the rushes he does get, end arounds, you know, whatever they are, sweeps, screens, short passes, tosses, whatever, I think he gets over 100 yards.
I like it. Bold, bold, bold. What did Dow Loggins say? He's going to have a few scripted plays for him. And again, we didn't see any of the... When he was drafted, you heard a mismatch problem. Linebacker safeties, can't cover him. Mm-hmm. We've talked to Jarrell Freeman about this. He is a problem when he gets in the open field.
It's all a problem. Mm-hmm. I got to pull that. Like, I keep forgetting to pull that.
What's that?
It's all a problem.
It's all a problem. That is a good one.
All right. Predictions. I can't do it. I kind of feel like you're going to do it.
They cover.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with, too. In fact, I'll be surprised if the Bears don't cover.
Mm-hmm.
They were in that game. What was the final score against the Texans last year? I actually looked that up in a second.
Well, got to let wait. They were actually winning in that game. People forget.
Right, in the fourth quarter.
Yes, and it got away from them at the end.
And that was a team that at that time was healthy, at least as healthy as they were going to be the rest of the year.
Yeah.
On the road against a team that made the playoffs, the Texans last year, and they were pretty competitive. You know, they had other games like that too. I mean, they had a chance to beat the Giants later in the year.
They were competitive. They beat the Tennessee Titans, but they had drops, passes in the end zone, two of them. Two guys still on the team anyway.
All right, last year it was 23-14. The Bears did not score in the second half against the Texans. They gave up 10 points in the fourth quarter. But, yeah, I think the Bears cover that touchdown. I just cannot look at this objectively and pick them to win. Will it surprise me? No.
No.
It will not surprise me if the Bears win on Sunday. I just, there's too many weapons on offense for the Falcons. I like this Bears defense. But, I just, for four quarters, I cannot see them holding the Falcons offense down enough when you, I still just, how are the Bears going to score more than 17 points in this game?
I concur, my friend.
Well, by the way, the Falcons defense isn't that great.
No, it's not. It should be
improved.
But there's certain question marks, legitimate ones, about the Bears offense, from their offensive line to the receivers and all sorts of things. And, it's going to be a ball game. Like some people are expecting the Falcons to come in here and just completely dominate. It may look like that at times, but I think what we've seen through the John Fox era is, okay, they've only won 9 games. But for a lot of those losses, they've been relatively competitive in those losses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, competitive is a loose word. They've been in those games and lost tight games. Does that make sense? So I don't expect this one to get away from Vic Fangio's defense. Mike Glennon may surprise us with one or two drives. Tariq Cohen could do something outstanding. They'll make plays against the Falcons. I don't see them winning, but I don't see this getting out of hand for them either.
I'm going to take the Falcons 20, Bears 16.
Okay. I was going to say something around 24-20. I'll go 24-20.
No.
No.
Mike disagrees with you. 24-20?
Mm-hmm.
So we both have 4 points.
What's his passer rating? Quickly before we move on. I'm going to say that
78.
I was going to say 80s, mid-80s.
Okay.
He's going to have some moments where...
He's going to throw an interception.
And it's going to be like a really bad one, I feel like. Like one of those bad overthrows into triple coverage.
Yeah.
They won't drop it this time.
Yeah. All right.
The look on your face while discussing him.
Well,
the look of disgust on your face.
No.
All right. How about our season predictions? Before we get on to our NFL and college picks, is what we'll do in this episode only. What do you got for a Bears record? You wanted to do a bold prediction for the season. You want to do that now or you want to
do
that?
No, wait. 7-9. I think that's very... I don't think they're a bad team. They're not a good team. I think the quarterback play will help dictate kind of where that goes. I think they're more talented than a lot of people want to give them credit for, and I think a lot of people have overlooked how horrendous their injury situation was last year.
Yeah. It's not looking great right now, though.
Yeah, but some of those guys, okay, let's not overrate. So your Jordan Morgans of the world, that's not a season-ending injury.
No, that's a red shirt.
Yes.
Well, I mean, fine, but you did lose Lamar Houston.
Okay, he was like your fifth.
outside linebacker.
It changes the complexion of the outside linebacker
depth. A bit.
Cam Meredith.
Still not enough to keep Dan Skuda.
Cam Meredith.
That's the only one.
I think Eric Kush is significant. It hurts your depth on the offensive line. You lost one starter, though.
Yes, that's it.
Okay. Before the season, though. All right, I've never done this before, but I have two different season predictions. Because we've never...
Okay, come on.
No, we've never had a season like this where you don't know which quarterback's going to be playing the whole year.
Okay, well, then I want another prediction.
Okay, you can do it the same way, but here's how I'm doing it. If Mike Glennon starts all 16 games, which I don't think is going to happen, by the way. But if he does, I think the Bears are 6-10.
Okay.
6-10. I just don't have enough confidence in the offense. Okay. I think Mitch Trubisky could be the difference of two wins. So if he plays, if he takes over, and I don't know when that's going to be, so it's just sort of me guessing here. But I think if Trubisky plays this season, I'm assuming it's going to be for a significant amount of the season.
Okay.
And under that scenario, I think he's a difference between 6-10 and 8-8.
Okay. Now, Dal Loggins did say the offense changes with him in there.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you that the door is completely wide open for Mr. Trubisky to take the field this year. Glennon's still got to be bad for that to happen, and like really bad, especially early on for that to happen. So if you get to have a 2-win improvement, I get to have a 2-win improvement. I think I've actually said this on Comcast before, that I do believe that the quarterback play, even if it's Glennon being really good, better than I project, or Mitch Trubisky coming in and being as good as he was in the preseason. That's a difference between a 7-9 and 9-7 team, in my opinion. So there's my two.
So he's worth two wins.
Agreed.
I see signs with him that he can elevate the game of everyone else on the field.
When he threw that touchdown pass to Tanner Gentry in Tennessee, did you see the reaction from the teammates?
Like on the field?
So Kendall Wright was mic'd up.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Your starting slot receiver. Ball's in the air. As soon as he releases
I did see that.
Yeah. So Kendall Wright's screaming.
That was hilarious, by the way, when he was talking shit to his team, his old teammates, when he made those catches.
Yes.
That was great.
Yes. Mitch Trubisky releases the ball, and Kendall Wright's instantly going, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. A lot of confidence in Tanner Gentry there. Touchdowns made. But to see starters run to him, we're talking about Kevin White, Kendall Wright, Jordan Howard. I forget who else was there. Maybe an offensive lineman. Didn't see Mike Glennon, for obvious reasons. Come and congratulate Mr. Trubisky for throwing a late touchdown in a third preseason game. That goes to your point. Guys kind of rally to him.
Yeah. The Glennon
elevates things.
Glennon being a captain, though, is interesting. Not that it doesn't surprise me. I'm just saying, like, if you're going to outright bench him, throwing out a date, week 4 or week 5, you're benching a captain for a guy who's not a captain.
Mm-hmm.
It's
but again, players know.
Yeah. Well, John Fox said that today. I asked John Fox today, why does Mike Glennon give you a better chance to win on Sunday? And he didn't really answer the question specifically, surprise, surprise. But he did say players, the guys in the locker room know. And of course, in my head, I'm going, yeah, so they probably know that Trubisky's better. But
I do think it's the experience thing.
Well, yeah,
I think they've seen enough of Trubisky being corrected here or there to know that, okay, special arm, special talent. Now he just needs
time
to catch up mentally.
Joe, what do you got for this weekend?
I got the Falcons, but the Bears to cover. I'm going Atlanta 23, Bears 17.
Bears.
I like that. Bears.
So just barely cover. What about for the season?
I'm a little more pessimistic than you guys. Yeah, I got them 4 or 5 wins maybe. Turnovers scare me. I know John Z brought that up earlier. You can't create turnovers. Their wide receivers are just meh. And, you know, you can only move the ball so much with the secret weapons that they got.
I think they're going to win one of these first 4 games. And it wouldn't even shock me if they end up going 2-2. I think it's a stretch to predict that. But if they get out of this first stretch with a 1-3 record, I think they can beat actually, I think they're going to beat the Vikings twice this year. I wrote that last week. I look at their front seven versus the Vikings' struggling offensive line is a huge. We saw that be the difference in the game last year on Monday Night Football. And the reason they got blitzed when they went back to Minnesota was the Bears' defense looked completely different with all the injuries.
Yeah.
So that's assuming they stay healthy. But if they are, I think they beat the Vikings twice.
If they start the season 2-2. Well, that's a
huge victory.
Yeah.
I mean, that's everybody's got to be thrilled.
Yeah.
And by the way, Glennon's probably still your starter then.
Absolutely.
So,
really rough stretch of four. I don't think the Buccaneers are anything special, by the way. I don't.
No, but they're better than the Bears.
But how much?
It's interesting, by the way. The Buccaneers, that'll be their first game of the season now.
A couple weeks of preparation.
Well, so the thing about, and for those that didn't hear the news, the Dolphins-Buccaneers game, which was supposed to be played in Miami, has been postponed to week 11 when they share a bye week because of the hurricane that's coming. And so the Bucs' first game of the season will now be week 2 when they host the Bears. Assuming everything's fine in Tampa, I mean, it looks like Tampa might get hit too. So, I mean, it's for now, that's the situation. Sure, the Bucs get extra time to prepare for the Bears, but they're actually taking days off here, I think. With the hurricane. I don't think it's not like they're out there today practicing for the Bears.
It works both ways. Even John Fox, Mr. Never Show My Cards, John Fox, saw it as a benefit for the Bears in some respects because of the emotions they're experiencing with what's happening in Florida and them being geared up for the opener, and now it's taken away from them.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe that getting hit by a hurricane is an advantage. You know, I just hope everyone's safe down there.
Okay, you know what I mean. But they got...
No, I'm talking about for the Bucs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yes, like, yes. I don't see how anybody's getting... Anybody down there, their families, you know, they're worried about their family, their safety, and they absolutely should be.
Yes. Second,
football doesn't matter.
That should be, yes, your priority.
So what I'm saying is I'm finding it hard to believe that, like, They're down there going, oh yeah, we get all this time to prepare for the Bears now.
They're in line at Costco stocking up on
right.
food and stuff.
And there's no way that getting hit by a hurricane it helps us. So I don't.
God, I hope that dissipates some respect, man.
That thing looks like a monster. Fierce. Does not look good.
God bless everyone down there.
Okay, we don't have to go through the old schedule now, but especially in the second half of the season, there's winnable games. So that's where I'm kind of coming from with at least 6 wins. If Trubisky becomes the starter at some point, I think he's worth a couple wins as well. All right, let's get to our picks. And we're going to bring in Joe to help us with this. Joe, give us the first game.
We're going to start with Thursday night's game. That's the defending champion New England Patriots hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. That's on NBC, 7:30 Central Time. Oh, and the Patriots are given 8 points.
Yeah, 8 points here. It almost feels like it should be more.
Yeah. I kind of like the Pats.
I know, don't you? Remember that game last year that started in Arizona?
Yeah, it's what I'm thinking about.
And Garoppolo started.
He killed him.
Yeah. And everybody was picking the Cardinals, right?
I think we both did.
Yeah. I don't know. The Chiefs are a good team, though.
They're okay.
The Chiefs are pretty good.
They are. The Patriots are the Patriots.
Yeah, I think I'm
at home Thursday night. They always got some vendetta. You know?
I'm sure
they're missing Julian Edelman, but Chris Hogan's of the world will be just fine. They've added two super fast receivers that nobody seems to be talking about. Brandon Cooks and now Philip Dorsett.
Yeah, but they let go of Austin Carr, so their season's over.
Oh yeah.
They cannot recover. I'm going to take the Pats.
Me too.
Seems like a lot. 8 points against a good team, but at home.
Oh, I think they went by like 10 or 14.
Okay. All right, I'll take the Patriots too.
I'll take the Chiefs to cover.
You got the Chiefs? All right.
Yeah. Next game is the Arizona Cardinals at the Detroit Lions. That's a noon game on Fox. Lions are getting 1.5.
Has the Bruce Arians magic, you know, that storyline, we kind of let him go, trust him in this or that. Is that kind of...
Well, my problem with that story to begin with was that Phil Emery still would have been his GM.
That's fine, but...
Like, I don't think the Bears had the kind of success that he was having down there in Arizona.
No.
But then last year things fell off. I don't think they're... a particularly great team. I love that Tyrann Mathieu's back and healthy.
Just for how long?
Just love that guy as a player. The Lions
getting points at home.
That's what's weird about it. This is a fishy line to me. After the Lions made the playoffs last year. Did they?
I feel like whenever the Lions make the playoffs, it's like by default, but
well, they were the surprise team last year.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the Lions with the point. Give me the points at home.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford with this new deal. Come out firing. Not feeling it.
Yeah. No, I'm feeling it. I like the logic here. This is a weird line to me. I'm going the other way. I'm taking the Cardinals.
-1.5?
Just because of the line.
How confident are you?
Not very.
Not to hit the button.
I wouldn't put money on this game.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with Hogue. I think Honey Badger comes back. That's a totally different defense with Matthew in the defensive backfield.
Yeah.
1.5 is easy.
If he's healthy, I think that makes a difference. All right, what's up next?
Next, we got the Seattle Seahawks in Lambeau against the Packers. Packers are given 3 Sunday afternoon, 3:25 start on Fox.
This is a great game.
Why is that primetime?
I don't know. Because, well, they got the Giants and the Cowboys Sunday night, and you know how much they love that.
Zeke's playing. We'll get to that.
The Sunday night games are so obviously geared to the markets, the ratings, and I don't blame them. I mean, that's their job. But you always see the same games. And Seattle and Green Bay just does not pull in. And Green Bay actually nationally does have a good following.
Yeah.
But not Giants-Cowboys level.
No.
And that division,
the Bears always have the occasional primetime. Yeah.
I agree. Joe? That division in particular. The NFC East is always on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah. Well, the Cowboys are just, you know, they're America's team, right? How about them Cowboys? This Seahawks-Packers game is going to be great. Sorry, I'm going to miss it. Covering the Bears locker room, but the Seahawks look good, man.
I think that defense, well, they were great last year. I feel like that swagger, that edge is back, though. They got anger to them.
Well, they've made moves to make
it. They just brought in a Sheldon Richardson.
Sheldon Richardson, who can play. I mean,
he can play.
Right. I mean, he was a name that always got brought up with the Bears.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you go out and get Sheldon Richardson? Does not fit the Bears culture.
You could
culture
do a better
right
Chicago
now
accent. Hey, why don't you get there?
That wasn't supposed to be. Hey, why don't they trade for Sheldon Richardson?
What do you think about that, eh?
Sheldon Richardman.
It's better.
I've been a Bears fan for 35 years, so we should go get that Richardson guy.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't. If there was any team that was going to go get him, it's Seattle, because they don't care about.
I love it. One of his first quotes is there. I fit great. This is a crazy locker room. It's like home to me.
Yeah.
He just left the locker room with Brandon Marshall.
Love Brandon Marshall throwing. I don't love a lot of things Brandon Marshall
does. He threw some Twitter shade at that trade.
Twitter shade was great.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. This is a tough one because, you know, a field goal at home basically says this is, you know, an even game, and it probably is an even game. Although I gotta say, I think the Seattle Seahawks might be a little bit better than the Packers at this point.
Yep.
But it is in Lambeau, and they have the better quarterback. So I'm gonna pick the Pack.
Oh, we're gonna differ for one. Here we go.
Okay,
this is where we start.
Well, we just differed on the last one.
Did we?
Yeah,
I forgot it.
Way to keep up.
Joe's keeping track.
Yeah, I got it.
Hey, and Joe, remember, he cheated last year.
I did not cheat. You won. Do we have to talk about this? I don't want to even talk about it because I'm so mad about it. How did I cheat? You won the thing.
You cheated.
I cheat, so I made myself lose?
You made it too close.
No, it came down to the Rose Bowl.
I know it did.
It came down to the Rose Bowl.
I started keeping track.
And you got the, well, it's not because you started keeping track. The USC comeback got it for you.
Anyway, Seahawks with the points. It's easy.
Yeah, I like the Packers to cover as well. All those offensive pieces on the Seahawks, whether they're injured or new. You know, I like the trade for Richardson, but Kurse was kind of a good fallback option for Russ.
Russ.
Yeah. Russell. All right, so that is we still got the Vikings. So for those that are just joining us for our first pick'em episode of the year, we usually do the Bears, the NFC North teams, and then you know fill it out with
big games,
whatever the big games are, depending on obviously there's less NFC North games if they're playing each other, but this week they're not. So we're both Joe and I are rolling with the Packers. You got Seahawks. That should be a great game.
Mm-hmm.
What do we got next?
Sunday Night Football, like we just talked about, Giants at Cowboys, Jerry Dome. The Cowboys are given 3.5 on NBC.
So this is Zeke Elliott's first game or only game before a 6-game suspension.
And he is playing.
Yes. Kind of odd, isn't
it? Yeah, that was weird.
It's a podcast for another day. But anyway, yeah. I think they're going to roll in this one because of all those circumstances.
Just the fact that he's playing?
Just because he's playing. Look, you could say what you want about the situation. Obviously, it's troubling, and I actually applaud the NFL for taking a stance, a strong stance against a star player in a domestic violence situation. It's kind of rare to say that Roger Goodell maybe did a good job with something here, but anyway, going back to the Cowboys and how they might feel about their certain situation, you know, obviously they're going to feel opposite of many people in this. I think it turns out to be kind of a dominant game for them in many capacities.
This was the same opening matchup last year. It was New York at Dallas. And despite the great season that the Cowboys had, the Giants went in there and won. I don't particularly love the Giants this season.
No.
But I also think that the Cowboys are going to fall back to earth a little bit.
You don't think?
I'm not a huge Prescott believer. Not that
he made me one as the season went on last year, because I kept thinking he'd fall back to earth last year as a rookie.
But it's not that I don't think he's going to be good. I do. I just don't think he's great. And I think he had a perfect situation last year. And, you know, it's...
I think he gets better.
You think he gets better?
Well, I don't know what his ceiling is, but I think he's completely... I don't see, like, a Robert Griffin III situation happening here.
The ceiling is the roof.
I know what it means.
I'm going to take the Giants in this one. Since you're getting 3.5, a lot of distractions with the Cowboys. I just think the Cowboys are going to fall back to earth a little bit this year. And sort of a gut feeling, I'm going to take the Giants.
See, my gut feeling tells me that Ezekiel Elliott's going to run for like 150 yards, like 2 touchdowns, and everybody's going to be up in arms in the Dallas area about his looming suspension then.
Well, they already are.
Yeah, but it's going to be after a game of him being Zeke Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
Even more up in arms.
All right.
You know, with Texans, this probably means, you know, no, bad joke.
Zeke... Last year in this game, the opener, 20 rushing attempts, only had 51 yards. So, if he runs for as many as you say, is probably going to be a long night for the Giants. I'm going to take the Giants. What do you got, Joe?
I got the Cowboys. I don't think the Giants have enough firepower offensively to keep up with them. Plus, does McAdoo, did he change his haircut? Because he kind of needed to. That did not look good.
I don't think he can. Some people are just stuck with their haircuts. You know?
Like nothing else works?
It's just that they don't, yeah. And you don't have a lot of versatility.
That means you wear a hat.
Yeah.
You got to just wear a hat on that thing. That's
like
just
the former Bears head coach.
All right, next game, Monday Night Football. the early
edition. Reminiscing of Mark Trestman, I guess. Okay. Go ahead.
New Orleans at Minnesota. That's a 6:10 kickoff on ESPN. Vikings are... giving 3.5.
Well, Adam hates the Vikings, so let's hear what he has to say.
How about, well, I don't like particularly like the Saints this year either. Adrian Peterson. Now, did he just pick the Saints because they were playing in Minnesota week one?
Huh.
It's interesting.
He's playing with the best quarterback he's ever played with, but they're both kind of in the twilight of their careers.
Vikings, a lot of issues on that offensive line still. Not loving that. Defense looks really good. I mean, that's where this is one of those games. Good offense versus a good defense. I'm usually going to trust
Does Mike Zimmer's group repeat what they were last year?
Jordan Howard cashed you pretty good.
Well, they got exposed. You know, it was a 4-0 start. Then they lost. Then they came to Soldier Field, something like that. Might have been more than that. But 3.5 Vikings getting at home.
I don't like this line.
I'm gonna take the Vikings.
I'm gonna take the Saints.
Don't love it though.
I don't love it either. Yeah. I'm gonna take the Saints.
Yeah. NFL line.
I like a good story.
This is why I like picking college games. They're easier.
Well, it's opening week. You don't know what these teams are gonna be. I kind of like the AP returning home angle. Mm-hmm. It's the sports writer in me.
All right.
I think he fumbles in his return home. Vikings cover for sure.
For sure.
For sure. Lock it up.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Joe gets the first lock of the season.
Yeah. Okay.
There. Well, that's our NFL games for the week, and that means could just stop doing college picks, because otherwise we wouldn't have this song to play.
I like this song. Adam is dancing right now. Not well.
Video podcast. I'm not dancing. I'm doing like a bob. Like a head bob. Is that what I was doing? You call that dancing?
You were swaying.
Swaying.
You were swaying.
Okay. Swaying.
Swaying.
That's accurate. You reported that accurately. All right, first game, Joe. We're doing three college games. That's usually what we aim for. Sometimes it depends on what's going on every week, but we'll do three this week.
All right, we got a big early season matchup. Two top 10 teams: Boomer Sooner, Oklahoma at the Horseshoe, Ohio State. The Buckeyes are giving 7.5 on ABC, 6:30 p.m. kickoff Saturday night.
So last week you were so concerned, Adam, about your Ohio State pick against Indiana. Your philosophy of never picking against the team playing in its biggest game of the year. Ohio State eventually covered, did they not?
They did. I went against my own philosophy.
Yes, that's what I mean.
In the pick'em.
Yes.
Yeah, I picked Ohio State, even though I live by that rule. I still agree with that rule. I don't know why I went against it, even though I hit it.
Yes. I wasn't overly impressed with Ohio State in that game.
Yeah.
And I love me some Baker Mayfield.
Well, that makes one of us.
Most exciting player in college football?
No.
Who?
Baker Mayfield?
Yeah. He's fun, man.
Yeah.
Is he not fun?
I mean, I would say Lamar Jackson is more exciting.
Louisville?
Well, it doesn't matter who he plays for. He's still exciting.
Give me Baker Mayfield.
Okay. Baker Mayfield. How about Justin Jackson?
I like Justin Jackson.
How about NFL.com had they had like their five people that cover the draft. People I respect: Bucky Brooks, Daniel Jeremiah, Chase Goodbread, Lance Zierlein. One other one is in there. They rank their top 10 quarterbacks every week in college football.
Yeah.
They did not have one vote for Clayton Thorson. That means one of the five had him ranked number 10. There's like three guys on there who played like one game in their career. This is a 3-year starter who had a great game last week against the Bat.
Comeback. Against better opponents than some of those other quarterbacks.
It's ridiculous. By the way, Joe is a Michigan fan.
Go Blue.
We should probably let our listeners know that. So,
he's
probably going to pound Oklahoma hard here.
Oh, actually.
Well, I'm with you, Joe.
I disagree with that. I think Buckeyes beat him pretty bad in Norman last year. I like the warm-up game with Indiana. This is going to be a beatdown. I think they're going to get him again in Columbus.
I think they do, too. I think they win big.
Baker, baby.
I think the Buckeyes win big.
Baker, baby. And I'm biased towards Ohio State.
Yeah.
Why?
My cousin played there.
Oh. Sorry to hear that.
National champion, Joe. National champion.
I'm picking the Buckeyes.
Covering 7.5?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Tempted to lock it up, but I'm going to save that for one of these other games. All right, Joe, what's next?
Next, we got the Georgia Bulldogs, number 15 in the country, at Notre Dame. Notre Dame is giving 6.5 points. Another Saturday night game, 6:30 p.m. on NBC.
Notre Dame is ranked now, are they not? 23, 24? Latest polls.
You know, we did not update this list that we have in front of us since because we came up with these games Monday, so I don't know if they are.
What they beat? They beat Temple in week one,
Temple,
right?
Yeah.
Their new quarterback, Brandon Wimbush. Wimbush? It's a fun name to say. Wimbush?
Yeah, he's on the top 10 list.
Guys, wasn't even that good in that,
I know.
Against Temple.
And how many games? Well, actually, you know what? I don't know if he was on the list, but he was. He got more votes. He got more votes than Clayton Thorson did, which is just like crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, who are you going with?
Interesting line here. 6.5 for a team that, well, Jacob Eason's out for Georgia. So that makes a difference. It was probably, you know, a lot to do with the line. But Georgia's kind of unproven, though, too. So I'm going to guess this is close. I would never bet on either of these teams at this point in the season. It's hard to trust either of them. Notre Dame ranked number
four. You're not betting on a lot of these games this year.
Well, you don't have to. No one's forcing you to. Notre Dame's ranked 24th in the AP poll, 25th in the coaches poll.
Okay.
Georgia's 15th in both. I'm going to take Notre Dame with these points. Wait, no, I'm going to take Georgia.
There you go.
I'm going to take Georgia.
I'm with you.
Since Georgia's getting almost a touchdown here.
I don't think Notre Dame's that good.
I don't either.
You can lock that up, Joe.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Yeah.
You locking it up, too?
Nope. No, not
touching
it. I just told you I wouldn't touch this game. Joe, what do you got?
Yeah, this one's real tough, especially with Georgia's quarterback out. I'll take Notre Dame to cover at home. But I'm not confident about that one.
Okay. All right.
So our advice for this week is nobody bet.
Yeah. Our
that ain't going to happen.
You can bet on the Buckeyes. And you can bet on this next game.
I like this next game.
Here we go. Final game. Another night game. Saturday night on Fox. 7:30 kickoff. Number 14, Stanford at number 4, USC. An early season Pac-12 matchup.
Yeah, this is the big game of the week, at least for me it is. I don't understand this line. Can someone explain this to me? Stanford just went down to Australia and pounded Rice. Pounded them. Looked great.
What did they do to them?
They pounded them. And they looked phenomenal in doing so. I watched most of that game because I'm weird. It was 2 weeks ago. They had like four random pounds.
You like watching a good pounding.
Jesus.
How big is the round?
I'm not sure how thick it is, but I think it's probably kind of thick. Yeah.
Why is USC favored by 7?
Sam Darnold? I don't know.
they sucked against Western Michigan last week.
Yeah.
At home.
Yeah.
Give me Stanford here. Wouldn't be surprised if they win outright.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
I like Stanford, too. What do you think of it? So, the quarterbacks last week. USC has theirs. UCLA has theirs.
Yeah.
So much hype around these guys. Rosen came back for UCLA. But Darnold, how do you feel about... You're a big evaluator guy. Yeah. What do you think?
Well, I'm just happy that I get 12 more games to watch of these guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone wanted to make these grand conclusions off of...
Oh, Josh Allen in Wyoming. Forgot to mention.
Yeah, Josh Allen. Yeah, he. You know, he's done, according to Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, after one freaking game.
It was brutal.
It didn't look good. But that's exactly my point. Like, Josh Allen is not... Clayton Thorson has done more in his career than Josh Allen. And... played way better last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand the hype here. Like, it's...
The hype was there last year about him coming out.
But, you know, Greg Gabriel was going on sort of a Twitter rant about this the other day, and he's right on this. Like, I love Matt Miller, Bleacher Report. Does a great job. So he was really the first one to like get on the Josh Allen train at the end of last season. Had him in his mock draft. Didn't know if he was coming out at that point. And that started this giant hype. Now, I'm not saying Josh Allen is going to be good or bad in the NFL yet. I don't know. It's been 1 week of the season. Check in with me, you know, next spring. But that creates so much hype. Like, same thing with the Heisman. Like, it's predetermined by the media that has bias towards certain areas of the country and certain teams that just get the most hype and most attention. And that unfairly creates, makes it harder for other people to win that are actually playing better.
Well, so much of it is hype.
Yeah. And like,
it's about how they transcend. Like
Drew Locke at Missouri. You have 521 yards, 7 touchdowns, by the way. Against Missouri State.
But isn't that college football in general? I mean, with the early AP polls, you know, how can a team that's not even ranked have any shot at winning a national championship?
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, it does happen, but it's, yeah, it's, I would be fine if they didn't rank teams until like week 4.
No, but you would never get that, yeah.
But I also don't care that they do. Yeah. I mean, I would be fine if they did, but the rankings don't matter anymore with the playoff. Like, the playoff, the committee does not do this until later, which
exactly,
is fine.
Which is what you're
which
supposed
is,
to do.
Yeah, yeah, which yeah. is fine.
We have more
so
to gauge.
Once they did that, I had more of a problem with the when it was all based on the BCS and these computers. This is stupid. So, anyway.
Stanford. Cardinal.
Pound the Cardinal. All right.
You? What's with the pounding?
I don't know. This. I don't know. All right. We should probably get out of here. It's been a long episode. There's a lot to get in here.
Yes, it was.
But it's. I was really excited for this episode, just to be able to make picks again, get ready for the season.
It's good to be back in the routine of things.
It is. You know, we asked on the survey which episode people like the most, and most people responded that they're all good. But out of the other choices, post-game episodes were slightly the favorite. For me, it's doing these ones.
Yes.
I like doing these ones. A little bit more organized. A little bit more work.
We have our thoughts kind of processed.
Yeah. And we can make picks. It's fun. It's good. So the Bears, Falcons, Sunday. And don't forget, this is your opportunity to interact with the podcast. 312-222-5050. You can leave your voicemails during the game. Get creative. Like we're encouraging creativity.
I'm excited to have like regulars like Joe from Bridgeport or you know, Willie from Willowbrook or something like that.
You can yell, you can scream, you can have rational thoughts,
mm-hmm.
which can be rare during Bears games. But whatever. We want you to call
make it fun.
So and it's your opportunity to have a voice on the podcast. So we're looking forward to that and we'll get going. It's about that time to start the season, and can't wait for that. All right. Follow us on Twitter. In the meantime, at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Follow Joe Romano, too. Joe, what's your Twitter handle? I don't remember it off the top of my head.
Joey Joe Rowe. J-O-E-Y-J-O-E-R-O. Joey Joe Rowe.
There you go.
Joey Joe Rowe. WGNRadio.com/Bears. My 10 Bears things be up. They might already be up, depending on when you're listening to this. They'll be up today at some point, Wednesday. Get Johnsy stuff, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Search Hogan Johns on TuneIn, iTunes. Please rate and review the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. Thanks to our producer, Joe Romano. Happy to have you on board. Looking forward to you being on board for this season.
And for those asking, yes, I am legally changing my name to Adam.
That's
it's a must.
It's required.
It is
prerequisite.
Adam Romano sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how you doing?
Right, instantly sexier.
Yeah. All right, episode 110, football. It's happening, finally. Bears. We'll talk to you after the game Sunday for our first post-game episode of the season.
Josh, who's the best meat smoker of your offensive line?
What do you mean by meat smoker?